It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running on this final day of June 2022. It is the 30th day of June 2022. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany real-time multimedia madcap extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live Monday through Friday. 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all times in between. And the great globe round. And whatever time it is when you're listening on the podcast. Yay. Hi, I'm Robin. It is Thorn in the Side Thursday. And our supreme, majestic, most puissant, dread sovereign Catholic majesties of the Supreme Court have done a couple of last pieces of dirty business as they head out of town to their very well-guarded and secure and safe existences where they need never deal with the consequences of their hateful, vulgar, filthy actions. Yeah. So we'll probably almost certainly be talking about that, but I don't want to get ahead of myself because every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So as a consequence, thanks go out on this final day of June to our 30th day of the month subscribers, and what that means is we say thank you to David in San Diego. Thank you so very kindly, David. And I'm sure you're counting down the days to heading off to law school. Seriously, good luck. It's hard work, but it's. If it's for you, it will be the most gratifying educational experience you've ever had. And thanks as well to Grover Steeton. Grover said, heard Bob's, well, okay, Robin's show on 6:30. Keep up the good work. Good trouble. Well, that's what we're trying to do. Good trouble. Thank you, Grover. Thank you for jumping in there. And what that means is that our fundraising goal to end the month of June to the good, and so we've got a three-hour mad scramble to try to finish in positive, even for the month of June, $604. And the final $25 challenge of the month of June comes to us from Ralph's. So Ralph's will double the first $25 that come in, and that'll get us down to $554 in our fundraising goal, our mad fundraising quest to finish June okay. Oh, that's funny. Andy Borowitz. Thank you, Ralphs. Andy Borowitz in the New Yorker. Headline, Trump denies ever knowing ketchup.
This business about me using ketchup in the White House. Is total fake news.
God. Ugh. Yeah, well. Anybody surprised? So, no, where are we for today? Well, we're at the same place we were yesterday, and we were at the same place that we've been every day since this past Friday, and that is taking note at the beginning of this program, and probably several times along the way, I've actually begun the process of trying to figure out some way to put this together. Just a general reminder, from the moment of fertilization, a woman has no rights to speak of. From the moment of fertilization, a woman has no rights to speak of. It was true last Friday, it was true Saturday, it's true Sunday. True Monday, true Tuesday, true Wednesday, true today, and it will be true tomorrow. And it will be, continue to be true until we damned well do something about it. Now, like I said, we've got the dirty business of the Supreme Court to get us started. But there's something, and listen, if anybody has been overly solicitous of President Biden, I'm the one who said, after all, that I was wrong about him and that he is and was the man, that he was the man for the moment. But if you recall back during, say, 2009 to, say, January 20th, 2017... You might recall that we created a cabinet-level position of the Secretary of Jesus, Barack! For those moments when President Obama just could no longer constrain his inner centrist and his inner institutionalist, and he would, well, you know. And it is... That's the reason I share with you what I have here, a note from Ron in Raleigh. This is the crap that Joe Biden does. Joe Biden has once again shown himself to be a feckless transactional politician. Another lifetime appointment for an anti-abortion lawyer based on a deal with Mitch McConnell, who I don't trust to keep his word. I wonder, do you believe that if Merrick Garland was on the Supreme Court that the decisions would have been different? I think the only thing different about the decision had Merrick Garland been on the court is it would have been 5-4. I do not think Merrick Garland would have voted to overturn Roe. It might have been 6-3 if Merrick Garland had been there and had been able to persuade old balls and strikes to go along with him, but that seems highly unlikely. So the only difference would have been it would have been 5-4, not six to three. Sotomayor, Breyer, and Kagan still probably would have written the dissent. Garland may have joined in with it. That's about all I got because this story is obnoxious. This story is disgusting. And yeah, it's a story of political triangulation that just nauseates me. I understand why he made the decision that he made. I understand the nature of the deal. He was in the Senate for about 1,000 years, Joe Biden was. But God... The headline, Ron and Raleigh sent it to me from Rolling Stone. I got it from Jezebel. The Jezebel article headline reads, Biden set to appoint anti-abortion Kentucky judge to lifetime seat. Is that putrid enough? The Rolling Stone article headline reads, Biden is nominating an anti-abortion lawyer to become a federal judge because, of course, he is. The subheading at Rolling Stone reads, The Biden administration is playing pro-choice in the streets and spineless in the sheets when it comes to women's rights, and somehow Mitch McConnell is somehow behind all of it. Because, of course, he is. Because Mitch McConnell is actually the true leader of the Senate of the United States. All of this centers on some white dude bro named Chad Meredith, who will become a federal judge, an Article III judge in Kentucky Stan. And it's all because of a deal struck with Mitch McConnell. As explained to the Louisville Courier-Journal by Representative John Yarmuth, for whom I have a great deal of respect, he and people identified as other sources say that the done deal nomination of Chad Meredith is intended to placate McConnell, who will supposedly pledge to not stall further federal nominations by the Biden White House. Meredith, a McConnell spokesperson, and the White House all refused comment to the Louisville-based publication. I don't know. I don't know how any woman or any person capable of becoming pregnant in this country, or any allies thereof, cannot be anything other than utterly dismayed, disgusted, and feel positively betrayed by this. The article at Rolling Stone continues, News of the alleged nomination comes as the Biden administration scrambles to address the rollback of abortion rights in a manner that will not appear politically polarizing to voters, you know, just in case you thought the Democrats were actually going to do something about the blatant attack on women's personal autonomy instead of flooding your inbox with hundreds of spam fundraising emails a day. It might be a little over the top. But Mitch McConnell runs the Senate because Kyrsten Sinema and Joe to the Manchin Born, well, they won't stand up for democracy in the United States of America. And not to put too fine a point on it, I guess it's time to have the should we really get rid of the filibuster discussion again. Do you want a filibuster-proof Senate if it's run by Republicans? Just asking. Not suggesting an answer. But Chad Meredith, really, he's a Chad. Oof. Kid looks like he started shaving yesterday. Chad Meredith is a member, of course, of the Federalist Society, that group of chop-shop jurisprudential and legislative maniacs who live to do nothing more than disassemble every decent thing that has ever happened in the United States of America. Yeah, I think behind closed doors, they'd actually probably, if you loaded them up on sodium pentothal and cheap tequila, they'd talk, oh, I don't know why. I don't really think we need the 13th and the 14th Amendment at all, you know? Chad, among other things, back in 2017, defended an obnoxious abortion law in the Commonwealth of Kentucky Stan that required doctors who perform abortions to first perform an ultrasound and describe the image to the patient. And then the doctor had to play the fetal heartbeat, which isn't a heartbeat, to the pregnant woman. Yeah. Speaking to the Courier-Journal, John Yarmuth said, given that a judicial position isn't currently open on the Eastern District Court, it's clear that this is part of some larger deal on judicial nominations between the president and Mitch McConnell. I strongly oppose this deal and Meredith being nominated for the position. That last thing we need is another extremist on the bench. Good on you, John Yarmuth, for recognizing that Chad, oh, he's a total Chad, is a judicial extremist, because he is, and given his age, he will be there for 50 goddamned years. Uh-oh, swearing again. But going back to the Jezebel article, they explain that this is so that he can get his other nominations through without Mitch McConnell bottling them up. In this little tableau, Joe Biden would be Charlie Brown, and Mitch McConnell would be Lucy with the football. And we know how that plays out, don't we? So, no way is Mitch McConnell going to behave in any way, shape, or form as a decent human being, because he is incapable of being a decent human being. I mean, decent human beings don't pose in front of Confederate battle flags while accepting an award from a white supremacist and all the while grinning like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush. So this will have something to do with packing the court in eastern Kentucky and curiously, that's a federal court that might just happen to hear questions about, oh, I don't know, the health effects of blowing the bejesus out of all the mountains in eastern Kentucky. Yeah, we're going to get to that. It was last Friday that Joe Biden said, this is a sad day for the country, in my view, but it doesn't mean the fight is over. Let me be very clear and unambiguous. The only way we can secure a woman's right to choose and the balance that existed is for Congress to restore the protections of Roe v. Wade as federal law. No executive action from the president can do that. And if Congress, as it appears, lacks the vote, voters to do that now, voters need to make their voices heard. Well, yeah, get out and vote. But you know what? Don't depress the vote by making the shit-handed deals with the devil, Joseph Robinette Biden. Love you, man. But Jesus, who told you this was a good idea? And this has the potential to piss off a lot of activist women that Joe Biden desperately needs to go to the polls and be furiously active come November. God, God, God! And so, you know, among other things, the idea was floated of putting allowing abortion clinics on federal lands. And that's been shot down. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre this past Tuesday said it was a plan with dangerous ramifications. Which leaves us with, here's an interesting thought. How many stand states that are banning abortion have indigenous reservations on them? You know what? Alabama does. And you see, the Supreme Court, if it wants to go and legislate what indigenous people can do with their land, the law as it presently stands is that the Supreme, our majestic, supreme, most puissant, dread sovereign Catholic majesties can pound sand. So if the Porch Band of the Muskogee people decide that they'd like to open an abortion clinic, you know, next to the casino down in South Alabama, they are free to do so. There could be abortion clinics, reproductive health centers on indigenous lands in Arizona, New Mexico, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota. Are there any indigenous lands in Mississippi, Stan? How about Louisiana, Stan? Arkansas, Stan? Tennessee, Stan? I don't know if there was a clinic on, say, Cherokee land in North Carolina, Stan. That might be good for women from East Tennessee. What a pathetic thing it is that we've gotten to the point where we have to think about hoop jumping to this degree. But here we are. Lord God. Here we are. The math of the deal. Lee in New York says, here's how it works. McConnell,
Give me one and I will give you 20.
Biden, okay.
And give me a dollar. Here are 20 pennies for you.
Didn't say 20 what? Yeah, there's a cute little thing that a friend of mine showed me that you can do with 5 pennies, but it's not radio friendly. It's a visual, so we'll forego that. It begins by laying down a penny and asking the person across the table, "Do you smell anything?" And they go, "No." You go, "Well, that's a cent." And then you put down another penny next to it and just say, do you see any fruit there? The person, no. And you go, "Well, that's a pear." And you lay down the third penny and you say, you see any snakes? Well, there's 3 copperheads. With the fourth penny, you say, "You see any automobiles?" And by then, they've picked up on it, and they go, "Well, that's 4 Lincolns. Ah!" And then you lay down the fifth penny, and that's where it gets really dirty. And so I'm not going to tell the punchline. So this is. I haven't seen where anybody else besides John Yarmuth in Congress has decried this dirty deal. The Jezebel article noting, the federal courts are extremely important right now. The Republican parties, read Mitch McConnell's entire strategy for the past few years, has been to pack them with conservatives who will shut down any lawsuit attempting to defend abortion rights. Biden's under a lot of pressure to fill the current court vacancies he has with judges who are friendly to reproductive rights, and instead he's making deals with McConnell to allow more anti-abortion judges into the fray. For a very long time. It makes things kind of difficult. It really, really does. So, that's the starting place. But it is by no means an end point. This is just a sort of opening in dignity, if you will. Other matters for Thorn in the Side Thursday. Speaking of Moscow, Mitch took a victory lap. Bloomberg News reporting, McConnell says blocking Obama's Supreme Court pick led to overturning Roe. Well, Jesus, you think? You know, and Nitwit Nero choosing a Federalist Society endorsed patent liar who writes opinions about quiet prayer when in fact it was practically a mob scene at the middle at the 50-yard line. You know, I don't want to see anything like it, but I think one way to do this to deal with this stupid decision in Bremerton versus Kennedy is to start having public employees who will go out at midfield and do really stupid religious things. Like, I don't know, have a Pastafarian go out to the 50-yard line at the same time these idiots are braying, because you know what's going to happen as a result of the Kennedy case. There's going to be 50-yard line praying breaking out at every center ice, center court, midfield, 50-yard line, all over the Confederacy and some other places as well. So we need some well-placed Pastafarians, perhaps, you know, followers of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, to go out to the 50-yard line while they're braying and hooting to their puking little godling, and putting a colander on their head and yelling, "Yar! Yar! Yar!" Because natural disasters in the world are in direct proportion to the lack of pirates. That's some serious Flying Spaghetti Monster church theology there. And it makes every bit as much sense as any piece of Roman Catholic doctrine or dogma or church teaching. The Dear One Flayed ceremony, dedicated to the god of new corn in the Mexica pantheon, Xipe Totec, it's going to be a hell of a thing for the folks in the stands to watch. Again, the name of the ceremony is The Dear One Flayed. It's... Or, as our pal Angelo in the People's Republic of the Bronx pointed out, having a practitioner of Santeria go to the 50-yard line and slit the throat of a chicken and babble some shit, that'll be good. Maybe some Muslims could go to the 50-yard line, toss out their prayer rugs toward Mecca, and bow and scrape for a while, not being disrespectful, just what they do. Maybe an Orthodox Jew could go to the 50-yard line and scream, "Thank God I was not born a woman!" This is just... I'll try to get better. That's try. Try. A simple solution, Ron in Raleigh says, Candace Owens has a solution to the abortion problem. She stated that there was no abortion when we were slaves. Maybe the fact that slave babies were property and could be sold for a profit might have something to do with it. Jesus, this self-hating negress is a living, breathing disease vector. Well, she is. God. Candy. Candy. I call my sugar candy. No singing. We got a $604 fundraising hole to fill here. It's going to make Bruce's memorial challenge on Friday on the front porch a near impossibility. Yeah, what's that, Matt, in San Francisco? What the fuck? Dad jokes with Robin? Make it stop. Well, it's only a dad joke up to the fourth penny. It gets filthy on the fifth penny, and we're going to leave it there, and it is no longer, believe you me, it is no longer a dad joke. As far as federal lands are concerned, Sumon asks, wouldn't the next Republican president simply close down the clinics? I'm wondering if this is a long-term solution. I'll wait for your explanation. Yeah, federal lands is no answer. It just isn't. In fact, it would just re-inflame the maggots. But one of the things to hope for is that while they will say, you know, the job here is not done, there's 24 states where you can still get an abortion, and we've got to stop and say, we got to save all the precious little fetuses in the states where a woman is still free. I mean, right? Makes sense. But they're not the sharpest knives in the chandelier. The fetus botherers and the great unwashed misogyny brigade. It could be that flush with victory, they'll go back behind the baseboards for a little while. If we were any good at this, at messaging, why do I even go on? Maybe we would send out messages saying, "Well, gosh, we're beat. They sure did. No, we're plumb licked." And maybe they'd quietly, and maybe the maggots would quietly go home. But then again, so too would our side stay home, because no pony. Yeah, thanks, Flavio. Rex Hupke of the Chicago Tribune with an editorial cartoon. A bunch of chickens scattered on a dirt road going toward a fence, and the sign over the fence says Boneless Chicken Ranch. Photo from a meeting of Democrats strategizing how to handle the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And see, this is why I was kind of hooting and hollering the other day about the fact that we need some strong women to actually file the bills of impeachment against Gorsuch and Brat and the handmaid and Slappy. And devil take the hindmost. I mean, we know what the counter messaging would be. Well, and it would come directly from Mitch McConnell. This is just sour grapes. We beat them fair and square. I mean, I didn't monkey up the laws or nothing. Yeah, you did. He would do that with that little thin-lipped surgical wound turtle grin of his. Because of course he would. Subject line, judicial appointments. Lee in New York asks, couldn't sliding eyeglasses Schumer keep the Senate in session to hold votes when the Republicans say, Democrats aren't doing anything? Well, yeah, but they don't want to do that. That's working. But, no, Moscow Mitch said that screwing over Merrick Garland and, by extension, making sure that Barack Obama understood damned well that he was only three-fifths of a president. And he said, it's the single most consequential decision I've made in my public career. Victory lap. And of course, he blew up the 60 vote requirement for Supreme Court justices, because not just because he wanted to immiserate over half of the human beings in this country. As we found out today, oh Jesus, there was an agenda. There was such an agenda. What do I mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is the decision that came out today on the final day of the court's term. We'll get to them, but in particular today, it was about the Environmental Protection Agency and doing what the Supreme Court the six maniacs were put there to do. They basically gutted the EPA. And it was another one of those decisions. Elena Kagan wrote the dissent for the 6-3 ruling in, oh, the shame of it all, West Virginia versus Environmental Protection Agency. And what this boiled down to is those six judicial maniacs declaring that the Environmental Protection Agency, who has environmental protection in its daggum name, didn't have the right to regulate carbon emissions from power plants. What is, huh? And it's described as a significant victory for the coal mining and coal power industry because of efforts that began in 2015 with the Barack Obama administration to limit the amount of carbon dioxide that they could pump into the atmosphere. No, really. As we like to say, that just beats cat's fucking. The Environmental Protection Agency can't protect the environment. Wrap your noggin around that. The Environmental Protection Agency cannot protect the environment. And what do you say about that? It defies logic. It is in line with who they are and what they do. I mean, this one, it's like body blow after body blow after body blow after body blow. And now, at least they're done. Cold comfort that. You know, there's a nexus here that I've been thinking about all day since the news about the EPA ruling came out. As I've discussed on this program on a number of occasions, there was a study some years back, a statistical analysis, in which the findings, and this was an analysis of over 1 million live births, they found out that birth defects, horrifying birth defects, are something on the order of nearly 200% more likely in mothers-to-be who live near mountaintop removal areas. One of the specific findings from the peer-reviewed study said that if you consider the pregnancies of two women, one of them happens to live near a mountaintop removal permit that's active, but she's doing everything she's supposed to do. She's exercising, she's eating right, she doesn't smoke, she doesn't drink. She's doing everything that theoretically a Republican wants her to do. While far, far away from any mountaintop removal, there's another mother-to-be who is, oh God, she's smoking, she's drinking, she's laying about. She's acting almost like she's not even pregnant. Well, of those two mothers-to-be, the one who's doing everything right but happens to live near mountaintop removal is 168% more likely to give birth to a baby with respiratory defects than the mother who's doing everything wrong and smoking like a chimney. So now, in the mountaintop removal sacrifice zone, when Mama finds out that no matter the fact that she has done everything right, but that her baby is going to struggle for what some faiths refer to as the actual first breath of life, and that baby may not live long outside the womb, she cannot even make the merciful decision to save that child the agony of its own miserable short existence. Both of which tie directly to the Supreme Court of the United States. How disgusting. So basically, with the ruling, the rulemaking in 2015, the EPA, by the way, the EPA was told to make the ruling by the Supreme Court, just out of, just, you know, so you'll know. And they were going about the business of regulating individual power plants, and that's the only way you can do it. You know, you're producing this much CO2, it's got to be reduced to that much CO2. And so the 6-3 maniac majority said,
well, putting caps on carbon dioxide emissions to transition away from coal-generated electricity, well, it may be a sensible solution, but it's not constitutional. Because there's a major question, because the Congress did not, nobody delegated to the EPA the authority to act with such specificity. It is not plausible that Congress gave EPA the authority to adopt on its own such a regulatory scheme. A decision of such magnitude and consequence rests with Congress itself, or an agency acting pursuant to a clear delegation from that representative body.
Clean Air Act, anybody? I mean, it's been on the books for a while. No, that wasn't enough. No. And so with that in mind, my clean coal fried electrical rates are going to go through the goddamn roof because, well, they're going to start blowing up even more mountains and burning more coal so they can blow up more mountains. That means more poisonous dust in the air for more mothers-to-be to breathe, which will then destroy the health of the mothers-to-be and ruin the potential futures of the babies they're carrying. And she won't be able to do anything about that either. It's a hell of a trick box, our supreme, majestic, most puissant, dread sovereign Catholic majesties on the Supreme Court have put us in, isn't it? And Justice Kagan said that that her pals over on the other side had significantly reduced the power to respond to the most pressing environmental challenge of our time. She continued, the subject matter of the regulation here makes the court's intervention all the more troubling. Whatever else this court may know about, it does not have a clue about how to address climate change. And let's say the obvious, the stakes here are high. Yet the court today prevents congressionally authorized agency action to curb power plants' carbon dioxide emissions. The court appoints itself instead of Congress or the expert agency, the decision maker on climate policy. I cannot think of many things more frightening. Respectfully, I dissent. I think maybe it's time to ditch the respectfully part, Elena. Maybe it's time to start just ending the dissents. Fuck you, you fascists. But I mean that way. Because of course I am. You're on to something, Matt in San Francisco says. I agree with the filing of impeachments for the judges. Even if it amounts to nothing, at least it would be seen as trying, and Democrats need to get caught trying. How many votes did the Republicans have on repealing the Affordable Health Care Act? How many hearings on Benghazi? If nothing else, it sent a clear message to the base, we're fighting for you. If we want people to show up to vote, especially young people, they have to see them trying. They have to feel like someone is representing their interests. I know. Yeah. And that's the point. Even if it's a symbolic gesture, sometimes you make the symbolic gesture. And I don't understand why it's so hard. Because there is a contingent that says that, you know, all day long Nancy Pelosi just sits in her office, in her black top hat and black cape, twirling her handlebar mustache and laughing menacingly. I've tied you to the tracks, little Nell. I'll stop those progressive impulses. Really? I mean, these people, that's the reality. These people talk to each other. And I'm just having a hard time thinking that, you know, the squad, AOC, Ayanna Pressley, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, other firebrands, Barbara Lee, Maxine Waters, aren't kind of just burning up the phones with each other going, you know, we got to do something. Everybody else can just lay around, but we're the women that the women of America look to say something, do something about their rights. And a bill of impeachment against three, if not four, of the members of the court would be a shot across those motherfuckers' bow. You know, those Supreme Court justices, they live an insulated life, but they are not so insulated that they don't care about their reputations. Is this another case of political, of being motivated by political fear? I don't know.
Well, they'd probably just rule even meaner against us if we impeach them.
That's a distinction without a difference. I know, I'm strawmanning. But I'm desperate to try to figure out why nobody's doing this. I don't think it's because it's a terrible idea.
I feel confident and comfortable that it's not a terrible idea to at least speak up for more than half of the population of this country or the entirety of this country in saying that the Supreme Court has no room on it for perjurers. Anybody? Bueller? Steve in New York. Subject line, Kentucky judge. That would be Chad Meredith. Such a Chad. In these types of things that make people sincerely ask the why should I support you question, it's one thing to surrender when one's back is against the wall. It's another when one surrenders when one doesn't even have to. I hate that I've arrived here again. There does come a point where we have to ask, where exactly is the line? Which hill will you actually die on? How many times do I have to hear, yes, but if only we enter number here, have, if only we have enter number here, more senators, or we can do X when we have enter number here, many more members of Congress. Let's look at the political branches. The Democrats control the presidency and are 50-50 effectively in the Congress. Why then is it that the GOP is actually doing the governing? Tell me again why I should give the Democrats just a few more whoevers so we can finally get this whatever this is done. I get it that we seem to be here all the time. However, here's the real difference. Roe is gone. Which hill to die on is no longer a question. We have our hill to die on. If the Democrats aren't willing to die on Mount Roe, seriously, what will it take? As I wrote recently, however, the difference between us and them is that we run sprints based upon our motivation. They run marathons. They see elections as the beginning and push the people they elect to do what they want. We see elections as the end and trust the people we elect will do what they said they'd do. Well, come 22, do you think a candidate who ran on the first thing I do when I take office will be to file a bill of impeachment against three perjurers on the Supreme Court? You think that would win her party's nomination? Do you think that would win her the election overall? Might get the nomination. Depends on where you are whether it would get you the election. If you're in a safe district, maybe what you do is you don't say a damn thing about it and then you go do it. I mean, there are some political calculations here. Steve, you're in New York. Lee's in New York. Tell me something. Does AOC have anything to fear? Angelo, are you listening? You're in the Bronx. Does AOC have anything to fear in 2022 in November? I guess your primary didn't come along for a little while yet. Is there anything for AOC to fear in her primary? What is stopping her from filing a bill of impeachment against these three perjurers? This is not a rhetorical question. I would like an honest answer. And I'm not suggesting there are dishonest answers. I mean, the math about what happens in Congress is real. But I still understand Steve's point. We know what's not going to happen in the Senate of the United States, and that's two Democratic senators striking a blow for democracy, because right now this might not be the best time in the world to strike that blow. I mean, think about it. Flush with the success that they have experienced, this pernicious, toxic, malevolent gift that they've been given by the supreme, majestic, most puissant, dread sovereign Catholic majesties on the Supreme Court. Imagine a Senate without the filibuster. Imagine a Senate where it only takes 51 votes to pass a nationwide ban on abortion. A nationwide ban, a ban that would apply in California, in New York, in Massachusetts, you know, civilized states. Do you think the little fetus fetishists wouldn't come just crawling in wave after wave out from behind the baseboards to vote in November? If 51 votes would get them a ban on abortion nationwide? This calculus runs broad and deep. And this is where you find out how sharp the other side of the double-sided, double-bitted axe is. You know, we could say, well, you know, if they succeed in getting a majority in the Senate, that's on us for not voting. And it would be true if it were not for all the voter suppression that the Supreme Court has already given the thumbs up to. We're already climbing Mount Rowe with one foot in a bucket. Because in order to maintain the House and in order to win and take more seats in the Senate, we're going to have to vote in heretofore unheard of numbers. And frankly, we have to maintain, and it's hard to do, it is hard to maintain abject, heartbreaking, blood-boiling fury for five long months. And as I said in yesterday's program, having a march on Saturday and everybody goes home Sunday in Washington, D.C. is not going to get the job done. This has to be a coordinated effort nationwide. And while we're at it, Dianne Feinstein needs to resign so that somebody with a reasonable chance of not dying midterm and the attendant lapse in membership that would occur in the Senate until the replacement could be named. God. That was just sort of an aside. But, you know, this is the Robin, stop telling us to show. I'm not sitting because I don't have the ego to sit and say, oh, I've got to, you know, and except for very specific instances like filing a bill of impeachment against the three perjurers. Generally, I don't say, well, here's the answer and here's what we need to do. Because, well, our community doesn't have that much reach. That's why we have to struggle to even stay on the air. Been on the air an hour and we're still at goose egg, even with a $25 challenge on the table. But maybe something as simple as a bumper sticker, I mean, it certainly has worked for Republicans, and a T-shirt. Just a black T-shirt, white letters, from the moment of fertilization, a woman has no rights to speak of. Or maybe just for the sake of the space on the bumper sticker and on the T-shirt, quote, a woman has no rights to speak of, unquote, dash, the Supreme Court. And since it's in quotes, it'll be a conversation starter. Well, they didn't say that. Oh, yeah, they did. And the dissent says that in exactly those words. And frankly, on a black bumper sticker with white letters, all caps, a woman has no rights to speak of, Supreme Court, would be really readable. Shit, I'd have 500 of those things printed up if I had that kind of money. Because people wearing those t-shirts all over the country, a lot, would very likely have an impact on the messaging. Because you know the fetus fetishists are already printing their own t-shirts with quotes on it that say, Roe is overturned. And they'll have a little picture of a smiling, grinning fetus on it. Anybody got any answers? No, the answer to your question, Frank, is no. If a woman's been raped and forced to carry a fetus to birth, would that mother now have a case she could file against the state government which prevented her from reproductive options, asking for a taxpayer? Frank, no, Frank. The Supreme Court of the United States has said she has no such right to determine whether or not to give birth to a baby. It's that simple. Ron in Raleigh writes, do you remember when I was a kid, before the polio vaccines were available, they had an outfit called the March of Dimes. They used to hand out these cards into which you could put dimes into slots, and when they were filled, you turned them in. If you thought that when polio was sent packing that the March of Dimes would fade away, this did not happen. I said that to say this, just because Roe has been thrown into the ash bin of history, it doesn't mean that the anti-abortion infrastructure will go away. It's too well funded and organized. It's going to find some other way to torment decent folks. Well, they don't even have to do it. They don't have to do any finding, Ron. All they have to do is do it. Because Roe's been thrown on the ash heap of history, but abortion is legal in 24 states. They have done what I previously said they would do. They, you know, you pick the low-hanging fruit first, and then you get out the trucks and the ladders, and you go after the fruit that's higher up on the tree. Because 26 states haven't now or will ban abortion, that means you can strategize the next tranche. I hate that word. It just sounds icky. Of states. Maybe you go after states that are smaller and have less robust legislatures. You know, for instance, I would go after Washington before I would go after California. I would go after Oregon before I went after California. I'd go after Maryland before I went after New York. I'd go after Rhode Island before I went after Massachusetts. And they have more than enough money to do all this. And they're good at this. So why wouldn't they? I mean, we talked on prayer meeting Wednesday yesterday about this group of 25 or so the toxic hate groups that have been gathered in under an umbrella by the Heritage Foundation. And they're laying out a wish list that would put you off dinner for a month of Sundays. The fascist nightmare they want to turn this country into. Believe you me, the multi-billion dollar fetus fetish industry already has an attack plan in place for the states where abortion is still legal. And again, remember, okay, caveat on what I said earlier about maybe this is not the time to overturn the filibuster. to a certain extent, I'm wrong. Not afraid to be. And here's how. We go back to what I said back when Joe to the Manchin Born was burbling ignorantly about how the filibuster protects democracy. Oh, what a droll little thing for Joe to the Manchin Born to say. But if Mitch McConnell gets a majority in the Senate this November, or if he gets it in 2024, the 60-vote threshold for doing anything in the United States Senate will be gone in a puff of smoke. Red smoke. And he'll talk about how
necessary in order to stop Democratic gridlock from keeping the business of the people from being gone. Done. Didn't mean to say gone. Done.
And then you will get, especially if the House is controlled by the Republican Party, then you will get a bill to make abortion illegal on a national basis. And don't for a minute think that our supreme, most puissant, dread sovereign, majestic Catholic majesties will hold that to be unconstitutional. Because suddenly states' rights won't matter quite so much anymore. They won't, in fact, matter at all. And what gives me the lasting sense that Moscow Mitch will do precisely that? The fact that he was babbling the other day about,
well, I don't think anybody's going to pass any international bans on abortion, because you've got to recognize that it's going to take 60 votes to do that, and ain't neither side got no 60 votes.
That tells me he's already thinking about those 60 votes and how to make it 51. And then we all get to point and laugh at Joe Manchin and maybe, you know, haul up a sinus oyster and spit it at him. Fucking simpleton. Kevin in Colorado Springs says, Biden's appointment and what I've done about it. Just called both my senators and told them how displeased I am about Biden making this deal. Told both of them if they supported this appointment that they would not get my vote, and I sounded every bit as unhappy as you were while telling us the news. For what it's worth, I would suggest that every Horn listener also call their senators and representatives about this. Who knows, it might make a difference. It might. Now, to be fair, the guy has not yet been appointed. But it could still happen. John Yarmuth said there's no opening on the Eastern District of Kentucky. But this needs to be circumvented. Toot sweet. Matt in San Francisco, EPA Supremes. So if the ectopic pregnancy doesn't kill you, the mass shooter is the next hurdle. If he misses, the climate disaster should kill you. Republicans, we will get you eventually. New motto for the Supreme Court. Lee in New York says, my recommendation, when the people want to know if we're done making conservative rulings, Kavanaugh will say, hold my beer. And there we are. We have a guest in the studio right now. And she wants to make her broadcast debut. Go ahead, baby. Yeah. Go ahead and tell everybody who you are.
I'm Layla Ovilla Welch.
Yes, she is.
Layla Ovilla Welch.
Yes, she is. Thanks, son. Thank you. Have fun. Love you, baby.
Say, I love you.
I love you, Opa.
I love you. Oh, what a charming little moment. Sweet. And she has no rights to speak of. Because she's a little girl. But Robin, Jeremy in Vermont says, they're just speeding up the timeline for many people of all ages to go meet Jesus and be happy walking on streets paved in gold, the chairs and everything else, too. Since Donnie's Jesus' twin, you get gold, she gets gold, we all get gold, we just have to die to get it. Yeah, that's the key to the benefits program, apparently. Get the idea, Jeremy's a little pissed. Supremes, Matt in San Francisco says, since they already have black robes, I propose we give the six justices a black hood and sickle. At least it would be consistent with their proclamations. Well, it would at least be, you know. Well, I said early on that these are Klansmen in black robes instead of white. And doesn't like the really really powerful Klansman, doesn't he wear a black robe? The exalted Cyclops, Grand Dudgeon, or whatever these toxic terrorists are. Yeah, but you're not wrong. Maybe we need billboards in Brat Kavanaugh's neighborhood showing those six monstrosities in black robes and hoods. Maybe the little fuckers need to look at the disdain that they have thrown what was supposed to be a respectable court into. Every day. I know, they don't care. New York's primary was Tuesday. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. So is AOC in the clear? Yeah, thank you, Lee, for letting me know that as well. Steve says, your slogan, not slogany enough. How about this? Women are not fully human, the U.S. Supreme Court. It has to be a quote from, that's a direct quote from the dissent. A woman has no rights to speak of. It's really there. People can go and look it up. I know, and my prose is too prolix, right? Capitulating, stuttering, chucklefuck. This comes from Scary Jerry. Firstly, what the actual fuck, Joe? I'm tired, Robin. So fucking tired. In fact, I gave up today. Jerry says, I'm tired, Robin. So fucking tired. In fact, I gave up today. I decided to assemble my Warlord developer kit. I'm half joking, by the way. I'm also downloading specs for the abortion pills and watching. Just call me a molecular terrorist. Opening my closet door is my psychically signed photograph of Alexander Shulgin. The DEA called him a terrorist, too, godfather of MDMA. Maybe they really are reptiles. You always skip over sentient reptiles and go right to the cockroaches. Maybe they want the planet hotter, because reasons. No abortion, no carbon control, and probably reduced voting rights. I had a waking dream. Agent Fred, go get coffee. Go. I had a dream that we got Mirror Universe Biden. In my universe, Biden kidnapped four of the six justices last week and sent their families one single shoe. Abortion rights were upheld. Mar-a-Lago burnt to the ground due to a fluke naval missile accident. Joe Manchin's whole coal empire suffered a 1,000% carbon tax retroactively applied for two decades. And Kirsten, let's go to the cinema. Near-death plane accident has her voting straight Democratic agenda from her hospital bed. Twitter is abuzz with leaked BDSM photos of McConnell and wife. Something-something huge strap-on eyeliner and black shiny vinyl. Wait a minute. And the cutest baby turtle nipple clamps. Turtle bleats, deep fake, mirror universe end. I've been attacking gleeful conservatives online. One of them said they would help personally enforce the Supreme Court's edicts. I told him, bring all your guns then. That they understand, and us pushing back loudly, forcefully, and aggressively terrorizes them. I then rattle something-something Second Amendment against tyrannical governments. And you could hear the gulp. Damn it if most civil wars ain't religious in nature. Y'all can sing Kumbaya, I'ma shoot some fucking Nazis. Miss me with that concentration Bible Sunday camp shit. I'm done. Happy Fourth, y'all. And this is, of course, all political satire. One more thing. If a Democratic candidate has, say, a campaign bus with Women's Health Services aboard, wouldn't that be covered under First Amendment and Fourth Amendment? Just wool gathering. Also, can we try and tax billionaires a 30% all these new babies cause of no row tax? Democrats, do a political messaging tax, even if it fails. Well, we could start with taxing the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, but no, there I go again. Also, says Scary Jerry, a graphic, coat hangers on a closet pole. This shit again. I know. Someone commented on the Jezebel article that I mentioned about the deal between Joe Biden and Moscow Mitch. Flavio says, okay, some clarification may be in order here regarding the context. First of all, the only thing Biden can promise is a nomination. He can't promise any votes from the Democratic caucus, and he can't promise that no Democratic senator won't filibuster the nomination, and under existing rules, any Democratic senator can do so anonymously. Unless the GOP can attract at least one vote from the Democratic caucus and ensure that not one Democratic senator filibusters the nomination and ensures that if filibustered, at least 10 members of the Democratic caucus vote with the GOP to overcome the filibuster, that guy wouldn't be confirmed. Second, based on the wording in this article, I'm not paying for an account with the Courier-Journal to confirm. If the judgeship is in Kentucky, it's a district court judgeship. Well, duh. That's a lifetime appointment, but it's a trial-level judgeship in a state that falls under the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, which the Federalist Society hates, and the U.S. Supreme Court. According to uscourts.gov, there are currently 75 federal judicial vacancies and pending nominations for 20 of those vacancies, including two for Circuit Court of Appeals positions. 75 judicial vacancies and pending nominations for 20 of those. The only federal judicial nominations that can proceed to be confirmed without potentially being blocked by a filibuster are Supreme Court justices, see Ketanji Brown Jackson. 50 votes plus Kamala is enough to get a Supreme Court justice nominee confirmed. It's just not enough to get any other federal judgeship confirmed. Hold on. Not true. Because the whole excuse that Moscow Mitch gave for blowing up the Supreme Court filibuster was the fact that Harry Reid blew up the federal court filibuster. Assuming the article is accurate, it is a trait of one trial-level judge nomination and presumably only a nomination because Biden can't promise that no Democratic senator will filibuster or that 10 Democratic senators will vote to override the veto that would be bound by decisions and subject to appeal in the Sixth Circuit, which the Federalist Society hates, and eventual appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court, which has no vacancies at the moment in exchange for 19 federal judgeships, including two Circuit Courts of Appeal judges. If the agreement was more far-ranging than just existing nominations, it could potentially be as much as a trade of one Kentucky trial court judgeship in exchange for 74 federal judgeships, including seven Circuit Court of Appeals judgeships. This doesn't speak to whether McConnell will live up to his end of the bargain, but I suspect McConnell and Biden have probably made analogous deals in the past that McConnell honored. What I understood it to not be solely federal judgeships. That McConnell would not hold up other nominations of the Biden administration. But the fact of the matter remains that if one senator does the judicial hold thing, then basically you get into a tit for tat in which Republican senators place holds on Democratic nominees. And then we're back to square one. Still a toxic deal. Darlene in Connecticut says, McConnell will suspend or overturn the filibuster to suit his ends. Plain, simple, to the point. And I agree entirely. and with an attachment. Lady B writes, attached is the cover of our local independent newspaper, the Colorado Springs Independent. They've fought for liberal causes and LGBTQ rights since their founding in 1995 or 96. I worked as a receptionist there for 3 months. They're incredibly liberal. I'm beginning to wonder if our Democratic leaders might be in on all this. I, too, voted for Biden as the lesser of two evils, but he definitely wasn't my first choice. And it pisses me off because I think he believes he was going to come in all FDR-like to fix the disaster Trump started. I think he wanted to. I think it startles him that shit could and continues to get worse. He's a traditionalist. He waxes poetic about the good old days. Problem is, as a rich white male, it was always the good old days in his eyes, and being vice president aside, I still think Joe is clueless about what the average American wants. The fact that he is closer to 80 than a vulture is to roadkill just makes shit worse. I'll acquiesce that the elderly can and do change their points of view, but honestly, if he doesn't want to run again or can't, is it really that big of a deal? Financially, it's no skin off his back. As far as legacies, even Tricky Dick got his own library. Biden is the 46th president of the United States. His grandkids and great-grands will still go to top-notch schools. He's reached the American pinnacle. If he starts losing his marbles now, all he'll remember is being able to sit in the executive chair of the Oval Office. He won't remember all the rest of the shit that happened on his watch. You know, it was famously said at the end, finally, of his days on this earth that the only person in the world who didn't know Ronald Reagan had been president of the United States was, well, Ronald Reagan. I don't know what the fuck the Dems are going to do, and I'm tired of empty promises and emails and texts that say, we'll do better if you just send us more money. Fuck that shit. Everybody knows you have to have a very good income to run for office. If you don't, you lose to those who do. That's just the fucking American way. Oops, I guess I just revealed I'm a negative Nelly. I'm picking on Democrats, and therefore we're not going to win anything because I'm speaking ill of the party and no one's going to want to vote for them. Fuck all that noise. No more fucking apologies. Democrats will have to bust their ass to keep me from voting third party. I did my part on the local side, but nationally, I'm voting for the most left-wing, take-what-I-want-first-and-ask-questions-later motherfucker out there. This isn't the time to play nice. Nancy, Chuck, Joe, Kamala, I know y'all aren't listening, but maybe somebody who knows somebody is. We Democrats are sick of your namby-pamby bullshit. Sick of it. Fucking do something. Fucking do something. Nobody else gets 2 weeks off work to celebrate a fucking holiday. And shut up about visiting with your constituents. All you do is have dinners with the rich. That's not campaigning. That's just more sucking dicks and kissing ass. I'm telling you, Robin, us longtime Dems are pissed and fed the fuck up. Continue to make nice if you need to, but every liberal I know is fucking disgusted. The apathy is real. The party is in danger. Wake the fuck up, Democratic Party. Your zipped up lips and proprietary stance is literally killing us all. Wake up, Democratic Party leadership. I won't vote Republican, but I'm not going to support the dinosaurs anymore either. Well, there aren't any national elections in 2022. It's just Congress critters, the occasional senator. Let's see, do you have a senator to vote at? In 22, Lady B. Let's find out. There's a Democratic incumbent running in Colorado. So you might have a decision to make there. And of course, if his numbers are good enough, you can vote for the Democratic Socialist candidate or whatever. Or is your primary already over? Is November decided? Is the slate set for November? I don't know. Thank you for that. Thank you for that, Lady B. I know. Wasn't that just sweet with my little granddaughter coming in here? Ralph said, oh, I know. She saw the studio earlier today, and I explained to her, this is This is where Opa does her thing. This is where Opa goes to work. And she was absolutely, she was absolutely transfixed. So I opened the microphone and I turned the speakers on just where they wouldn't feed back, but she got to hear her own voice through the speakers. I think it's just charming. Michael Bennett, says Lady B. And the Colorado Springs Independent. The cover was all red with white letters. The great big huge font. End. Period. Supreme Court decision terminates a woman's right to choose. By staff, see page 11. Thank you, Lady B. And, of course, Michael Bennett is one of those truly, well, obnoxious centrists. Worrisome. Thank you to Kim in New York. AOC in New York primaries. Just want to clarify, due to redistricting, there are two primary dates in New York State this summer. The gubernatorial primary took place this past Tuesday, while the House of Representatives and Senate primary is scheduled for August 23rd. AOC's congressional district was reconfigured, but she's probably safe. So she won't be running until August 20. That's what I thought. I thought it was coming up in August. So, I don't... And, of course, everybody's up for re-election in the House. It's not staggered. So, is it election year politics? Is it just pure craven cowardice? Or is the idea of filing a bill of impeachment against those three liars? Is there some nuance of strategery that I've somehow missed? I don't know. So we are at the halfway point of the program. Here's a little bit of happy news. No, it's not. Scientific American, a person got COVID from a cat in the first confirmed case. First there were sneezing hamsters, now sneezing cats. A team in Thailand reports the first solid evidence of a pet cat infecting a person with SARS-CoV-2, adding felines to the list of animals that can transmit the virus to people. Oh, Jesus. Something tells me this will not end well. It would be nice if this could be discredited or proven not to be so. Anything, really. There we go, Lady B. Opas, don't let the babies grow up to be DJs. Don't let them spin records because they don't exist. Don't make them have incomes on which they'll barely subsist. That's on the fly. Give me a little. I mean, you know. And we'll get right to work, Lady B, on stick to the format. Weather and traffic on the tens, and save your relatability for your friends. And bring me a copy of your latest air check. Oh, those were harrowing words. But we found the halfway point of the program, and consequently, and we're still at $604 to go to finish the month of June. That's an ugly little hole to be in. But we'll take a little break, because, we've got the Green News Report, and I have a feeling Brad and Desi will be having a purple polka-dotted blue screaming conniption over the Supreme Court decision today. God knows when I saw the news, it's not like I wasn't expecting it, but still, it stung. Stung a lot. And just by way of just by, you know, I'm looking forward to this because I think it'll be a way of sort of gauging the mood of folks. A long time ago, God, it was over 10 years, I think. But I went to my first Netroots Nation because it was up in Pittsburgh, and we had some panels about mountaintop removal. People like me and Guy James, we broadcasted panel discussions live. It was an exciting time. Well, it turns out that from August the 18th to the 20th, Netroots Nation is returning to Pittsburgh. And that's an easy drive for me. So I reached out, and I have been credentialed for the radio row for Netroots Nation. And they're going to work with me in coordinating some guests and the like. And like I said, it'll be interesting to gauge just what the level of outrage is, and I hope it's turned up to 11. That's August the 18th through the 20th, and well, I'll have to figure out how to stay in the hotel. But I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully maybe see some old friends that I haven't seen in a couple of years, or maybe a dozen of them. And sit around and cuss and discuss, as we say. And Les, sending along a graphic of a tweet. Sean King, quote, tweeting, "The brilliant Elie Mystal on Joe Biden and the Democratic Party." Elie Mystal pointing out, "What we are experiencing is not leadership, it is complicity masquerading as helplessness." And I wish that did not make as much damn sense as it does. But it does. And we've got a we've got a Slappy Thomas sighting. We'll get to that maybe after the Green News Report. Oh, Ron in Raleigh says, "I've been meaning to ask this since Lauren Boebert stated her views on that separation of church and state junk. On a sliding scale, how far are we on the slide to theocracy, 0 to 100? If we're not at 80, well, but we're at 80 or more. Or if you take it as a function of a percentage of the states, we are over 50% down that continuum. Matt in San Francisco says, "Children, I really don't know how people with kids don't go absolutely nuts over what's happening with the Supremes. Mad props for all moms and dads who aren't taking up arms and heading to the courthouse." Metaphorically, of course, Agent Fred. One of my daughters, talking to me, wept. She wept. Her words were, "Daddy, I don't know what to do." She's not pregnant. But accidents happen. Condoms break, pills fail, IUDs sometimes don't work, diaphragms are not perfect, and there will be no small number of those. I mean, if condoms are 99% effective, well, the converse of that is that they are 1% ineffective. And that means one out of every 100 condoms results in a pregnancy. I know it doesn't work exactly like that, but that's close enough. And in a nation of, let's say, 175 million women, and I don't know what the percentage of them who are of childbearing age are, even 1% of 175 million is 1.75 million forced births. Or, okay, make it a third of that for the stand states. It becomes terrifying. It absolutely does. And Matt, I kind of am, as a parent, going absolutely nuts. And of course, there's my status as well, as an unwelcome human being to the, you know, because see, I'm post-born, so. I mean, thank God there's no genetic test to identify trans kids or trans fetuses, because the Dobbs ruling would have come out oddly different. It would have been Roe versus Wade is overturned unless you can prove the kid is trans. And then they would have just saved those little fetuses for snacks. Fucking cannibals. Another to-the-point statement based on Lady B's comment, Darlene in Connecticut says, eventually Joe Biden pulls the rug out from under you. He isn't aware he's doing it, it's just in his nature. P.S. He still endorsed Texas Representative Henry Cuellar, a pro-life Dem over a pro-choice progressive candidate. Yes, he did. So did Nancy. We had that discussion. It seems more and more indefensible. I was wrong. It's just who he is. Scary Jerry says, $5.99. Come on, Hornistas. My broke under the table ass is chucking in $5.99. Robin's grandchild was worth at least that. In my mind, I see a Gerber baby wearing a headset speaking into a Victrola. Let's bring it home, Hornies. Terror mindfuck of the day, Vice President Boebert. Donate. Thank you, Scary Jerry. So you'll get us off the schneid, which means that we will be down to $598.01. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you. So again, like I said, let's go to the Green News Report and see what Brad and Desi are conniptionizing over. And then we'll get back to things like the Slappy Thomas sighting.
It's Thursday, June 30, 2022.
So while the Supreme Court case is very important, it's not the only game in town.
Right-wing Supreme Court strikes major blow to EPA's ability to regulate carbon emissions. Residential natural gas stoves leak carcinogens even when turned off, study finds. Plus, clean energy jobs are booming. Fossil fuel jobs are shrinking.
All of those booms and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Getting to a wedding costs an arm and a leg. Gas is so expensive, you can bring it as a wedding gift.
This is your Green News Report.
And make sure you hold on to it, though. Your grandkids can sell it to a warlord for water.
Okay, Desi Doyen, the day that we have long predicted, long feared would come has now arrived.
As expected, the right-wing supermajority on the stolen and packed U.S. Supreme Court has issued a disturbing landmark ruling in West Virginia versus EPA. That's a lawsuit brought by Republican attorneys general over emission standards that never took effect. The 6-3 majority ruled that despite the Clean Air Act's broad textual mandate, the EPA does not have the authority to regulate carbon dioxide emissions from power plants because Congress didn't explicitly say regulate carbon emissions. The decision kneecaps the agency at a critical time when scientists warn the window is closing to act to prevent catastrophic climate impacts. It throws a wrench into new standards being developed by the Biden administration. However, in an interview with Sky News before the ruling, EPA Chief Michael Regan said the agency has other tools.
The president has a number of tools in his toolbox. And as we look at all of the regulations that govern power plants, we have regulations that look at traditional air pollutants, water pollutants, and coal ash or, you know, hazardous waste cleanup. So while the Supreme Court case is very important, it's not the only game in town.
Well, good luck with those other tools. Given what the Supreme Court has decided, it's clear to me, at least, that they are also going to handcuff the agency on those other rules as well.
Yes, the ruling is the pinnacle of Republicans and their funders' decades-long corrupt coordinated scheme to stack the court and handcuff the EPA from issuing future climate and pollution regulations. And it can also be used to gut the government's ability to regulate corporate behavior in other sectors.
There is a reason I don't call these right-wingers conservative. They aren't conservative at all. They are radicals.
And it matters because climate research shows that man-made global warming has now escalated the risk of compound disasters that interact with self-reinforcing feedbacks. A new study has found that extreme dryness in the U.S. West's man-made megadrought boosted hot temperatures by 4 degrees last summer, intensifying both heat waves and wildfires, with greater cascading impacts together than each disaster on its own.
So it's all getting terrible all at once.
A different study finds that most U.S. cities are seeing more extremely hot days overall than in the past because of global warming. More than half of U.S. cities now see at least 7 more extremely hot days than in the 1970s, with the hottest summer temperatures arriving much earlier and persisting later into the fall. In other news, new scientific research shows that residential natural gas stoves leak carcinogens, including benzene and 20 other toxic air pollutants that are linked to birth defects and cancers, and they do it even when turned off.
So that is the clean natural gas we hear so much about?
So-called.
Nice.
This is the first study to document additional pollutants included in the natural gas that's piped into homes, part of a growing body of research identifying natural gas as a significant source of indoor pollution.
Electrify, please.
But some good news. In Oklahoma's Republican Senate primary this week, Trump's wildly corrupt, scandal-plagued first EPA director, Scott Pruitt, lost his bid for the U.S. Senate to replace retiring climate science denier, Senator James Inhofe. And he lost badly.
So there's that, at least.
And finally, jobs in the U.S. renewable energy sector rose faster than overall U.S. employment in 2021. And it made up for job losses in the fossil fuel industry, even as fossil fuel production increased. The Department of Energy's annual jobs report out this week detailed dramatic growth across the entire clean energy sector in 2021 and found that the fossil fuel extraction industry lost more than 31,000 jobs, while the electric vehicle sector alone created 45,000 jobs, a stunning 25% increase over the previous year.
So there's that as well. We'll take what we can get. Thank you very much. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we could not get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. We're off for a few days for the holidays. We will see you thereafter. Until then, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Hot town, summer in the city. Back of my neck getting dirty and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people.
People looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk harder than a match.
Sorry about the dead air. Took a little longer than I expected. It is. We are well over. We're over halfway done with the evening. We got. It's a very busy mailbag this evening. And as a PPSS to the PS, previously Darlene in Connecticut writes, it is indefensible and utterly hypocritical, as the Dems are telling us that Roe is on the ballot and that we should be asking each candidate whether they support abortion rights. Yet Joe and Nan are endorsing those who fucking don't. There needs to be severe pushback against Dems asking for us to vote for the same old, well, complicity, as noted by Ellie Mistal, is unconscionable and unacceptable. We must make them finally do the right thing. And the devil, of course, is always in the details. How? And I'm not quibbling with you, Darlene. I agree. What constitutes the right thing? Is it filing a bill of impeachment against three lead pipe cinch, clearly obvious as the day is long, perjurers? Is that it? Is that one part of it? Is reintroducing legislation that will go nowhere because of Mitch McConnell, is that it? Is it, I don't know, that you remember back in the Vietnam era, the people who levitated to end the war? Is it levitating to restore women's bodily autonomy? I'm not being a smartass. I want to know what the right thing is. And therein we find the problem. But you know what? I think for as much as I have inveighed against purity tests, it's time for a purity test. There is no room in the Democratic Party for Henry Cuellar. Maybe he needs to become an independent or something. But there's no room in the party for him anymore. There's no room for anybody who would negotiate a woman's right to choose. I mean, one of the things that, you know, we spent so much time saying, see, she told us she was right about Hillary Clinton warning us about everything that Donald Trump was bringing with him. And yeah, I remember the heady days of the purity wars of 2016. And I remember one of the things that was most disturbing about Hillary was the fact that she had intimated, I think, on, oh, was it Meet the Prestitutes? Or one of the other Sunday blabfests? She said that there were aspects of a woman's right to choose that were subject to negotiation. That day is over. A woman's right to control the workings of her own reproductive system, of her own body, is absolutely, utterly, completely, and totally non-negotiable. Period. End of sentence. Full fucking stop. Because part and parcel of why they were able to overturn Roe is the fact that the court in Roe set up the trimester by trimester by trimester schedule. Now, if it had been a Roe that said you can only get an abortion up to 20 weeks or up to 15 weeks or up to 10 weeks, the entire industry still would have, the multi-billion-dollar fetus fetish industry still would have developed, and they would have barked and grunted and growled and hooted and rolled on the ground and handled snakes and poured Crisco all over each other and thrown fits in front of clinics and tormented women who were going for a pap smear or a mammogram or a handful of condoms or the pill. They would have done all that anyway. But the schedule aspect of it made it easier to attack. It made their job easier. And so, among other things, one of the principal lessons coming from Roe and this nightmare in Dobbs is that a woman's right to access reproductive care is absolute and non-negotiable and may not be touched by any politician. At all. Ever. I mean, that's pretty much Supreme Court policy with regard to blue steel penis enhancers, isn't it? Yes, it is. Crisco, asks Steve in New York. Oh, how unhealthy. I'm hoping they'd at least use the healthier olive oil. These are some cheap bastards. It's not even going to be brand name Crisco. It's going to be Elf brand partially hydrogenated vegetable shortening. No, they use the liquid. They only use the partially hydrogenated stuff for the special occasions. For the greasing on of hands and whatnot. Yeah. So do you want to talk about this? Anybody? Skype line's open. Stress line's open. Skype line, Bob Kincaid Horn. There's a number that rings into the Skype line, too, and that's 304-574-8178. Stress line, of course, is 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. And it's open to you. I had a few remarks from Arnold in PA. Arnold said, that's coming. After the EPA ruling today, it's all going away. Buster has to stay. Republicans are going to kill us. It's coming. God, radio since 73. It's the mission. That's how the right wing did part of it. Jesus might come now. The Amway fortune. This shit's no accident. Yeah, talking about DeVos. And Darlene says, you are quibbling with me. All of the above needs to be done. All are the right thing. You know what I mean. Damn it, Republicans do whatever the fuck they want to do without a second thought and without consequences. Enough. We must rest this dying grand experiment towards a more perfect union and, at minimum, a federal republic back from the claws of death. Establishment Democrats must be hammered for continuously snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Well, okay, I will quibble with one part of that. Republicans do whatever the fuck they want to do without a second thought and without consequences. The successful Republicans do not. The successful Republicans strategize and focus group. What do you think Frank Luntz was doing all those years? They plot, they plan, they strategize. That's why they've got that group of 25 fascist hate groups already gathered together and already thinking about what they're going to do to America in 2025. Not yelling at you. So we need to sit. We need to sit down, and you know, in the planning stages, you can go ahead and just fling spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks. But it does need to be coordinated. It needs to be planned. It needs to be sustained. And it's the sustained part that kind of drives me the craziest. Because like I said earlier, how do you sustain outrage every day for 5 months? I've been sustaining outrage for a week now, and it's already taking a toll on me. And this is, and you know, I'm somebody who has been, to one degree or another, outraged for going on 20 years for 3 hours a night, 5 nights a week. I mean, the bottom line is, these punks, these thugs, need to be confronted. I mean, I really think not giving those, our six supreme, majestic, most puissant, dread sovereign Catholic majesties not a moment's peace for the rest of their natural born days is part of it. But, you know, I'm rubber and they're glue, and understand that it will be done, pressed down and shaken together to Ketanji Brown Jackson, who's probably, you know, she was confirmed, not confirmed, but she was sworn in today. She is now the first African-American woman ever to sit on the Supreme Court of the United States, and I'll bet she's already gotten more fucking death threats in one day than the six maniacs have gotten in their entire tenure on the court. So while we're screaming at them while they're eating some expensive dinner in a D.C. suburb, well, you know what the maggots are going to be doing, and it will not involve screaming. I mean, I think this is just an acknowledgement of who the hell they are. So, I mentioned a slappy sighting. This is a dandy. Oh, yeah. I mean, he just doesn't let up. You know, with a reminder that the Supreme Court in polling over the last week has now plummeted to an all-time low. The American people have next to no confidence whatsoever in the Supreme Court. According to polling by Gallup, only 25% of Americans have what is termed either a great deal or quite a lot of confidence in the judiciary. That's 11% off from a year ago. The poll was taken between the 1st of June and the 20th. And according to Gallup, the 11-point drop in confidence is the Supreme Court, roughly double what it is for most institutions that experienced a decline, because all the institutions experienced a decline. Democrats have a confidence level in the Supreme Court that sits at 13%. Wait, though. Republicans, who own the court, their confidence in the Supreme Court is only 39%. That 13% among Democrats is the lowest that the court has ever had in its entire in the entire history of any polling on the topic. And, you know, we in the midst of all the outrage, we missed a couple. We touched on them briefly, but yeah, according to the court this term, a criminal defendant who has not read their Miranda rights now has no right to sue cops who don't read them their rights. And this article from Ceylon, points out that last September, the handmaid said, judicial philosophies are not the same as political parties. My goal is to convince you that this court is not comprised of a bunch of partisan hacks. Well, convince and con begin with the same syllable, con. And that's a con, because if these aren't political hacks, what the hell are they? And Sonia Sotomayor, back during the oral arguments for Dobbs, well, she said out loud that upon overturning Roe, the Supreme Court could probably not, and these are her words, survive the stench, asking if people actually believe that it's all political, how will we survive? How will the court survive? Well, in short, it won't, as it was intended to be. It won't, as it was previously understood to be. It is what it is now. It is nothing but a gang of political hacks who will lie to get the damn job, because it is a lifetime sinecure. You got a little army of clerks, fresh faces, freshly matriculated from Harvard and Yale Law. And by the way, yeah, to the extent that the Supreme Court is mostly it's the major leagues, and Harvard and Yale are the farm clubs, this kind of throws them into disrepute, too. And that probably should have happened generations ago. Things may be on an upswing, Ron in Raleigh writes, with a little bit of uncharacteristic optimism. I heard today that Reverend Raphael Warnock now has a 10-point lead on the dunderhead Herschel Walker. Do you think that white folks in Georgia are finally waking up?
Why are there still apes?
Yeah, I know.
If evolution is real, why are there still apes?
Of course, Socrates. Naturally, Socrates. So, back to Slappy. This one's a real Lulu. I mean, Slappy is as Slappy does. From the Department of You Can't Make This Up, Slappy had to dissent yesterday. The Supreme Court sent packing a bunch of COVIDiots and mask holes who mounted a religious liberty challenge to New York's COVID-19 vaccine mandate. The COVIDiots and mask holes were 16 healthcare workers who said that, you know, their religion, their closely held religious beliefs, prevented them from being able to take a vaccine that would keep them from being horizontally crucified. They had to be able to provide proof of vaccination in order to keep their jobs in healthcare facilities. Reasonable. Dare I say, using language from Dobbs, rational. in his dissent, and apparently there were no laughing emojis or, you know, rolling on the ground emojis or anything. Slappy said,
"I object on religious grounds to all available COVID-19 vaccines because they were developed using cell lines derived from aborted children."
Now, here's the important part. Slappy is either an idiot or a liar. I'm opting for liar. Because, see, here's the thing. None of the vaccines that are being offered in the United States of America are derived from in any way, shape, form, or fashion from fetal tissue. None of them. Now, when the vaccines were being developed, to be fair, cells, individual cells from elective abortions that took place decades ago were used in testing. Not in vaccines, in testing. And they do that fairly commonly in testing of any vaccine. Rubella, chickenpox. These COVIDiots sued in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of New York. The District Court of the Northern District of New York actually entered an injunction, a preliminary injunction, pending full resolution of the case. Then the Court of Appeals said nope and reversed the injunction. And then the Supreme Court, mirabile dictu, decided not to hear the case yesterday. And more importantly, they left in place a ruling from the lower court that, no, the petitioners were not subject to a violation of their First Amendment right against religious discrimination. And, well, all 16 of the idiots were either fired or resigned, or in the case of doctors, lost admitting privileges. And maybe a couple of them actually had enough brains to get the goddamn vaccine. And what Slappy wanted was to have a full hearing on it before the Supreme Court and decide if whether any state can ever be deemed to be neutral or generally applicable if it doesn't have a special carve-out for the religiously insane. And he wrote,
"Because I would address this issue now in the ordinary course before the next crisis forces us again to decide complex legal issues in an emergency posture, I respectfully dissent."
My ass, he respectfully dissents. It just gets so, so exhausting. And while we're still on the topic, this story, and again, it's the common thread of, well, liars. At least three members of the Supreme Court, four actually, if you count Slappy lying about not having sexually harassed Anita Hill. At least four members of the Supreme Court are liars. The maggots are liars. Neil with a K, Gorsuch, is specifically a liar over the prayer case. And so, lo and behold, we have a dear friend down in Dallas, and she worked for years doing the heroic work of a nurse in a reproductive care facility. And she had made me aware years ago, or I should say more aware, because I had a functional understanding of these so-called crisis pregnancy centers. And this story came out of NBC News. Because everything that these fetus fetish operations get is tax-free, they necessarily have, and this is a complicated financial term, shit tons of money. Well, they had enough money to put up a brand new crisis pregnancy center right across from Planned Parenthood facilities to try to pull in women who were ill-informed as to what a crisis pregnancy center is. And so when NBC News went into one across from Planned Parenthood, well, the crisis pregnancy center talked to NBC News, and then NBC News went back to a couple of women, former representative in the Texas legislature, Sarah Davis, a Republican from Houston, and Representative Donna Howard, a D, a Democrat from Austin. And these women have actually spent years working together to safeguard abortion practices. At one time, Representative Howard actually served as the president of the Texas Nurses Association. And they were shocked and they were disgusted by what the liars in the crisis pregnancy center told them. Now, bear in mind that taxpayer money goes to the crisis pregnancy centers. In Texas, they spent $100 million on crisis pregnancy centers in 2022 and budgeted for 2023. The biggest lie that they will tell a woman who walks in there, scared half to death, is that, well, you know, and you know, it tells you, that when you draw a line from one to the other, it tells you who's running the messaging. Because one of the things that kept a number of people from getting vaccinated against COVID, and it happened particularly among young people, you remember, what was it, Nicki Minaj's cousin's fiance's friend's balls swelled up to the size of soccer balls after the vac. Remember that? The pernicious lie that the vaccine causes infertility, sterility. There is not a bit of truth in it. In fact, it's the exact opposite. Being unvaccinated and getting COVID can affect your ability to produce offspring. But the same lie has been told for years in these crisis pregnancy centers. Namely that, well, honey, I mean, if you was to get an abortion, abortions make you infertile. and you'll probably never get a second chance from God Almighty to bring another life into this world. And they do. They say it in that sweet, syrupy, milky, sickening, putrid, mealy-mouthed way. And as NBC pointed out, saying that abortions cause infertility is medical misinformation, according to the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, the single largest group of obstetricians in the United States. Nonetheless, the mealy-mouthed staffer at the Dallas Crisis Pregnancy Center told the NBC producer, who had asked her about the abortion pill, "Honey, my job is not to scare you. You never get over seeing that baby." And then she pointed over to a plastic model of a fetus and looked at the NBC News producer and said, "Can you imagine seeing one of these in your panties?" The thing is, the models of the plastic models of the fetuses aren't even scientifically or anatomically accurate. They are, in fact, little bitty dolls. You know, for those of you familiar with Mardi Gras tradition, like the little baby Jesus you find in the king cake. And in point of fact, again, all this blathering about a heartbeat, there's no heartbeat. Why? Because at that stage of embryonic development, there's no fucking heart. You can't have a heartbeat without a heart. And so, Representative Donna Howard, former Representative Sarah Davis, said, "Not only is that a horrible thing for a woman to be told and medically totally inaccurate, but I don't understand why conservatives, who are always touting the party of fiscal responsibility, turn a blind eye to this. $100 million to pay for little tiny king cake baby Jesuses so that some religious fucking maniac can look at a poor terrified girl and say, imagine seeing one of these in your panties." And then the worker at the Crisis Pregnancy Center said, "Well, because of government stuff, I can pray for you. I can't pray with you." And then she handed the women from NBC a pair of knitted baby booties. This is all nothing more than praying on the emotional angst of a pregnant person who is simply trying to do the right thing and stumbled into the Crisis Pregnancy Center instead of going into the Planned Parenthood across the street. It ain't right to life. It's right to lie. They're liars. Children of Satan. Oh, and I need to go back. I had a note from Billable Rick. Where'd you go, Billable? Challenge: how do you drive the greens on 2 par 4s and get only pars? Challenge: oh, that's bad. That's 3-putting. Robin: to commemorate my strange golf game today, I'd like to make the following challenge. I'll pony up $25 to be applied to any extant challenge, which I'll double to $50 when met. Billable always makes it a little complicated. So Billable's going to answer Ralph's challenge. And then if somebody else kicks in 25 bucks, Billable will then add another 25 bucks, and we will be we will actually have raised at least $100 of the $599.01 that we need to raise in the next 40 minutes. Thank you, Billable. Billable explains, I drove and struck the ball very well today, but my putting largely betrayed me. I shot 34-37 for an 11 over 71. I had three putts on seven holes. God, that's disgusting. Oh, it makes you so mad. Including on the above-mentioned two par fours, while only one putting three holes for a total of 40 putts, four putts over the regulation number of putts, 36. To be fair, my first putt on about four holes from a distance of about 30 to 35 feet, a tough distance to leave your second putt within the very makeable three-foot radius of the hole. Anyway, the par that was especially off-putting, see what I did there, occurred on the par 4 15th hole when I hit a high draw drive 150 feet high onto the green where my ball cratered halfway into the green, leaving me a 30-foot putt for an eagle, which became a 6-foot birdie putt, then I just missed. And P.S. Billable says, I'd like to thank Jude, the patron Earth Mother of the Horn community, for the kind gifts that I understand are en route to Chris from Portland, Tracy, and me. Thanks so much, Jude, for being the kind, thoughtful, positive, and deeply spiritual person that you are. Well, that's just so sweet, Rick. So, if there's just 25 bucks out there, one, just laying around loose, it can make $100 happen. 100 badly needed dollars. Wait a moment, says Ron and Raleigh. Why can't he be both? Going back to Slappy being a liar or an idiot. Yes, by all means, let's have collegiality and consensus here. He's a lying idiot. Lee in New York, of course. You can't have a heartbeat without a heart. Oh, yeah, Robin? Then explain Vice President Richard Cheney. Shit. I was afraid somebody would bring him up. You know, he went a couple of years without a pulse. Emilio says, off-putting is criminal, and Rick should know that. Lady B, on the other hand, says, condoms 99% effective? Only if they're worn. See, that's the crux of the problem. Guys have to fucking step it up. You don't want to be a daddy. You don't want to have part of your check garnished. Wrap it up or get the snip. P.S. Tomorrow's the first. Honey, most of us should be able to kick in a little something then. I'm certain you'll go into the holiday weekend all set. I'm glad you mentioned the holiday weekend. I'm not celebrating it. I think maybe tomorrow for Friday on the front porch, we might point out that Monday marks the commemoration of the day in 1776 when the Declaration of Independence was posted, which talked about the rights of white property-owning men. And everybody else can, since Dick Cheney was mentioned, go fuck yourselves. So, you know, not looking for any... There's not going to be a big bash. I confess, I will... I'm going to do some barbecue for the family. And I've got an in-memoriam event I'm supposed to attend on Saturday at Cayford Mountain, if I can get there. Thanks a lot of gas. Remembering the heroes of the struggle of the struggle against mountaintop removal who are no longer with us. High on that list, Larry Gibson, Judy Bonds. And so I was over to the Food Lion today. God, I cannot resist. Every time I'm there, I was feeling cute today and. At every Food Lion, there is a slogan on the window. And it says, easy, fresh, and affordable. Did I have to take a selfie in front of that? Yes, I did. and just, you know, just fooling around. But the point is, pork butts were 50 cents a pound. So we'll have some barbecue this weekend. But there will be no big to-do done, because this is not a 4th of July for wearing red, white, and blue. This is a 4th of July for wearing black. And it is a remainder of 2022 for wearing black. You know, that brings another thought to mind, just in terms of imaging and messaging. The suffragettes famously wore white. Maybe it is time for women in mourning for the fact that a woman has no rights to speak of should wear black. You know, just like the hoods and robes of the majestic, supreme, most puissant, dread sovereign Catholic majesties of SCOTUS. What do you think? Black is slimming, after all. Remember. Let's run over to the stress line. See who we got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Robin. This is Emilio again.
Hey, Emilio. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Yeah, a little bit of dudgeon, but I'm okay.
Okay.
Are you kidding? I'm freaking outraged. I don't think I'm ever not going to be again.
Yeah. Well, I came here like at 6:30, so I missed what you guys were talking about. But yeah, I mean, I like how, going back to Amy Coney Barrett, she basically told the truth that her job is to lie about what her job is. It's like, I'm here to tell you the exact opposite of what we're doing.
Right. I'm here to lie to you.
That's my number one job. But I don't know. I sometimes I'll, you know, listen to TYT, and they're always like, oh, Nancy Pelosi is a goon and a corporate goon and all this sort of stuff, and they're always like so against the Democratic Party. And then, you know, I'll listen to like you or Tom Hartman or Randy, you know, saying how Nancy Pelosi is a great legislator. And I mean, I don't think she's a goon, but I'm moving more towards the TYT side, where it's like we have to challenge these people and sort of start replacing them. And I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's complex. I mean, it is by definition and by design a complicated process. And
right.
And, you know, when you're talking about something like the House of Representatives, progressive districts send progressive people. But, and I've remarked on this in the past, a progressive in Texas or Alabama is not the same as a progressive in California.
Right.
I mean, they can share a lot of things in common, but there are things that will separate them. But we can't.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, I think there, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you please.
Well, we're going to go to another point. I mean, because I think we are going to start seeing, I mean, more races of people who are just like much more open and like openly antagonistic to the Democratic Party, and they're, you know, like challenging them from the left. And I think, well, of course, I think the president is going to, you know, label them as being the same as the January 6th people, or they're just some, these sort of radicals or something like that. But I think, like with Fetterman, we're seeing like the beginning of more people doing that. Of, I don't know.
Well, this is probably not the evening to go into the broader and deeper context of why progressives have such a hard time. Suffice to say, in many instances they do. It's because people who are, you know, really, really progressive often don't have access to the funds to run competitive races. Sometimes, and I include myself in this, we can get a little preachy. We can ask things like, well, why do these people vote against their own interests? Completely oblivious to the fact that we have just sort of superseded their own autonomy and declared that we know better than they know what their own interests are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah. But I guess, that is why I wanted to talk about the more broader thing, but I don't know if you have someone else that wants to talk about more about the core issue, abortion, and I don't know if you have someone else lined up.
No, you're fine. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I imagine sort of more the need of doing sort of like Reagan did with Ford, of like, you know, saying, hey, like putting out this narrative of these, you know, these corporate Democrats, they don't, you know, they don't represent us, and like really hammering them. But I know you're kind of nervous because you always talk about how Carter and Kennedy went after each other, and that caused the party a lot of trouble. But I don't know. I'm sort of favoring more of doing like Reagan did, like, you know, just coming out and telling this narrative of, you know, there are these people who think that surrender is somehow a viable political, a winning political strategy or something like that.
Strategic surrender. Well, remember, Reagan had what was known as Reagan's 11th commandment, and that was, thou shalt not criticize a fellow Republican.
Right.
That that used to have the force of an actual religious commandment. I mean, there was a time when they held to that with religious fervor. Of course, that went away. Yeah. That mostly went away with the ascendancy of the Mar-a-Lago Mugabe. But Democrats have it's been a reality for God eons, because remember, it was the 1930s when Will Rogers, you know, before he died in a plane crash, when Will Rogers said, "I am not a member of an organized political party, I'm a Democrat." And then it was 2004. When Howard Dean said, "I come from the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party,"
right,
thus implying that there was a corporate wing or a centrist wing or a right wing or a Republican wing or a libertarian wing of the Democratic Party. It presents a real question, Emilio, as to how we achieve some level of unity sufficient to drive the discussion. I mean, I've long said that it takes more courage to be progressive in a place like Texas or Alabama or West Virginia than it does in more liberal states. And that's not a criticism of the liberal states, it's just the reality of what it's like to be in a Stan or Confederate state.
Right.
When there are marches, and there will be substantial marches all over the country, I think a week from Saturday, I'm hearing that there's going to be one in Charleston, and I will go to it. But the fact is, anyone who marches in Texas or Alabama or anywhere else does so knowing that they are putting their own lives on the line. that at any minute some malevolent shithead with an AR-15 may open fire and slaughter God alone knows how many of them, and be fully convinced that they are doing it for God, for country, for the precious fetuses, or for, you know, the, what is it, the 14 words of the neo-Nazis. It's hard.
Yeah. But, I mean, I mean, like, I look back, I've looked at, well, this was some time ago, but I mean, I looked at the, like, the speeches between Reagan and Ford, and before Reagan became president, he was, like, he would really go after him. So it's like, they did that, he did that war, and then when he won, then it's like, okay, let's all get together. Let's not say anything bad about each other.
Yeah.
So it's like, I sort of favored doing that, like really just taking over the party from, but, of course, easier said than done. But yeah, I mean, then also I'll hear TYT saying all the things of like, why doesn't she do this? You have to annihilate or whatever, something like that. And I'm like, what kind of expectations do you have? I mean, it's like, and it's also easy to say that, but then it's like, what are you guys doing? I mean, like you could do 1/100th of what she's doing, or so yeah. So I also get mad at them. It's like. Like, what kind of expectations are these?
And if we get caught up in this stuff, then we don't accomplish our principal goal. And just you know, as a function of brainstorming, Amelia, if you think about today's EPA decision, and you think about the way that I drew a line between clean air, clean water, and healthy babies. We could message the bejesus out of this if we could manipulate the messaging infrastructure. Some pro-life Supreme Court wanting pregnant mamas to breathe filthy air. See, a little hillbilly girl just said that. And it would be a great inflection point for the Sierra Club to reach out to NARAL, to reach out to the Human Rights Campaign, to reach out, and make a huge... Because these, you know, granted, they're on our side of the spectrum, but they're not all sitting there eating rice and beans every day. And, you know, the unfancy ramen that doesn't have the flavor boost packet. There could be a great coming together. And the Sierra Club could boost the messages of NARAL. And NARAL could boost the message of Sierra Club. And the Human Rights Campaign could jump in and boost the message of indigenous rights groups. And you could see a tectonic change in how we address these things. You know, what if the Sierra Club started putting out bumper stickers that said a woman's right to choose is non-negotiable, Sierra Club? But you know what would happen at the boardroom? We can't be doing that because, you know, we have some pretty big donors and they're pro-life. I don't even know if that's true. That's just a function of my godforsaken cynicism.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it's an interesting discussion to continue to have. And, you know, and while I kind of dismiss the idea of massive rallies on a Saturday and you leave D.C. on Sunday, that's not to say that doesn't need to happen.
Yeah.
Because surrounding the Supreme Court of the United States for that rally, you know, with 20 or 30,000 people, don't do it on the mall, damn it. Do it around the court. But then again, but then again, they'd probably round up protesters if you did that. Because, see, freedom of speech is a very measured thing. You're free to speak, but only where they say you're free to speak. And the only people who get away with not doing that are apparently people who carry AR-15s on January the 6th. Sorry, my cynicism showing again.
That's all right.
Well, listen, it's great to hear from you, Emilio, and thanks for jumping in. And I appreciate the conversation. Let's keep it going and holler next time the spirit moves you. Okay.
All right. Sure.
All right. Take it easy. Bye now.
All right. You
Emilio calling from I do believe Florida. 20 minutes remaining in the program. $25 waiting for billable Rick to turn it into 50. And I sure hope that happens. They sure dispatched Howard Dean in a hurry, didn't they? Says Randy Radar. Yeah, they did. That remains one of the great pieces of political rat fuckery in modern American history. The Dean scream, which no one in the room even heard, was heard around the world because the microphone was going right into the for-profit media feeds. Jesus. Sometimes. Note coming in about the 4th from Lady B. Well, thank you, Lady B. She heard my easy, fresh, and affordable story, so I sent her the photograph. She said, you brazen hussy. Why, thank you. And, yeah, as an African-American, I know all about the 4th. Seems stupid for the descendants of slaves to celebrate, but we do. Because it's all about family. We don't fly the flag or watch Civil War reenactments. We just gather together. It's all about love and thankfulness that we're all still around. So, hell yeah, we get together on the 4th, lemons, lemonade, darling. And the little ones love the fireworks. I know. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do for Saturday. Y'all tell me. I have two conflicting events. The one, as I said, is an in memoriam commemoration on Kayford Mountain. Because Larry Gibson used to have a 4th of July celebration every year up on Kayford, and there'd be bluegrass music and good times. I was there for one of them when a Nazi came along and threatened a man and his children. He was a laid-off mountaintop removal worker, of course. He was so drunk and so absolutely out of his mind with rage at the tree huggers that he started picking up hot dogs and squishing them on his great, humongous, corpulent bear chest. Finally managed to get the guy charged with a crime, and when he got in front of the magistrate said, okay, don't do that no more. Didn't even fine him, or maybe fined him $1 in court costs. God. But I don't think there's... Well, I know there hasn't been a 4th of July celebration up on Kayford in a while. The other thing is, there will be a women's rights float in the Fayetteville 4th of July parade Saturday afternoon. I don't think I can do both. Because everything gets started at Kayford at like 11, and then the lineup at the parade to walk with the float or whatever is at like 4... And it takes a little while to get up on Kayford because it's a gravel road and it's kind of rutty and one must proceed with caution, especially when one is no longer in a vehicle with a little bit more ground clearance than what I have. And so to get up to Kayford, see these people I love and have known for so very long, and then to get down Kayford and then get to Fayetteville and be there to it's almost impossible, but, you know, worth the effort. So maybe I'll try to do both. Maybe I'll try to do both. Don't know. Kind of hard to say. By the way, going back to the J6 hearing of this week when Cassidy Dickinson testified, you know, she talked about, she named some names, and one of the names that she mentioned was Tony Ornato. Tony Ornato was selected by the Maggot King to head up the Secret Service detail in the White House. Well, Carol Lenig at the Washington Post wrote an article about it. And she pointed out that while I guess they were sort of lionized for saying, "No, sir, we're going back to the White House." Tony Ornato may not necessarily be the hero he is being portrayed to be. Carol Lenig said, Tony Ornato, who was also with Donald Trump on January 6th, and the question becomes, did he do what he was supposed to do to protect the public and protect democracy? And we'll see if he and also the security detail leader for President Trump testify before the committee. The agency, the Secret Service, has said they will make themselves available to testify under oath, and they dispute some of Cassidy Hutchinson's allegations and accounts and say they do. But the fact of the matter is the Secret Service failed in their jobs on January 6th, as Carol Lenig pointed out. And it was the Secret Service who let down the Capitol Police. And having asked the question so many times now as to why these Capitol Police officers, who were very clearly under attack, did not use deadly force to defend themselves, when they clearly would have been justified in doing so, well, the answer becomes clearer and clearer, because Carol Lenig at the Washington Post pointed out the fact that, yeah, the Secret Service hung the Capitol Police out to dry. And a day after the broadcast in which we asked the question, so they're hearing all this radio traffic about all these people with AR-15s and various guns, and they're not moving to arrest them? Huh? Well, Carol Lenig said individuals who were with Donald Trump on January 6th essentially did their job. They blocked the president despite him apparently roaring in their faces from going with the rabble, the mob that was heading to the Capitol. They said, no, sir, cannot do that insane thing that you're proposing. So that is, check, mission accomplished. You know, their civil servant job performed. However, there's a problem in all of this, which is the Secret Service uniformly kept enabling Donald Trump all along the way in the final year of his office, doing things that were extremely dangerous, and to his own agents, to his own health, to the health and safety of peaceful protesters. And then went on to spill the tea on things like clearing Lafayette Square, campaign rallies during COVID-19, where a lot of advance agents actually got the virus because the Secret Service cooperated with Trump. And she said, in the end, all of that lands on the desk of, lo and behold, Anthony Ornato. So a clearer picture emerges. The Secret Service could have and should have apprehended these heavily armed, bloodily dangerous, with murder on their minds, maggots. But they said, well, you know, they don't want to come through the magnetometers because they don't want their guns confiscated, so we're just going to let them take up sniper positions in trees. Because they apparently agreed, the Secret Service did, apparently agreed with Donald Trump that they were not there to hurt Trump. And apparently that's all that mattered to the Secret Service. we probably will not do most of the due diligence that we need to do as we go deeper and deeper into sorting out and fixing the faults of January 6th. But it seems to me that there should be a top-down shakedown of the entire Secret Service. There are people who should no longer have jobs and maybe even lose their pensions, because how many officers, how many Capitol Police officers died? Well, the proximate cause of that was the maggots. But the maggots got to do what they got to do because the Secret Service would not do their fucking job. Plain and simple. There's a hell of a lot of answers needed that I don't know. I don't know if we're ever going to get. Randy Radar says, not being an ammosexual, what is the difference between an AR-15 and an AK-47? An AK-47 is a much more crude weapon. It's also much more resilient. It's made of cheap wood. It's a semi-automatic or automatically fireable rifle. And it was developed by a Soviet gunsmith, inventor. Whereas the AR-15 was developed by, I think originally Winchester, maybe? And it's designed to be a component, it's basically a totally customizable weapon. It's meant to be sort of little C Catholic. You can put on, I mean, you can accessorize it like a Barbie dream house, only with guns and dead Barbies. And it began life as a in Vietnam. It became a replacement for what the, oh hell, I don't remember. But basically, it's they're two sides of the Cold War coin, Randy. AK-47s for the Soviet bloc and M-16s or AR-15s for the West. Well, there's a thought. Lee in New York says, July 2nd, you could watch the movie 1776. Virginia's resolution was passed unanimously on July 2nd, 1776. Adams imagining the historical recording of the War for Independence sounds like a Republican wrote it. That's a droll little musical. We actually produced that. Florence Summer Music Theater did back when I was a teenager, and I worked backstage at it because I didn't do musicals because I can't sing. Yeah, maybe the M1 Garand, and you said you weren't an ammosexual, Randy Radar. Your previous caller, Jude, writes, had the most comforting tonal energy. Thanks so much, as it's been an energy-encompassing week for this one, as it is for those who are wide awake to it all. Robin, dear, grateful for all you do, and especially for extending your hand of friendship that has brought so many of us together. Well, thank you, Jude. Thank you, dear Jude. And, well, thank you. Thank you, Kevin, up in Massachusetts. Thank you. You've met Billable's challenge, so that means we are going down to 499.01. That's how we will end the month of June, with a $499.01 deficit. Thank you, Kevin. That's so helpful. So very helpful. All right. Not a lot of time left in the program, but let's go over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello.
Hear me?
Yeah, I do. Is that Silent R. Lamar?
Hey, yes, this is the missing arrogant child of the Horn family.
How have you been?
How you been? I've been good. I'm sitting here suffering being black.
Well, I'm sitting here suffering being a woman.
Well, I know what.
And so, that triggers that line from one of my favorite movies, Mate One. All we got in common is our misery, Joe Kinahan used to say. So the least we can do is share it.
Hey, I'm wrong with you. Like I said, I saw all this coming a long time ago. All I want to say right now, Sister Robin, is real simple. Okay, we got hell right now. When do I get my handbasket?
Yeah, what am I doing in it? Right.
Because I'm like this. I'm black. I was promised 40 acres and a mule. My family got the 9 acres. We didn't get 40. We got 9.
You got nine, and it was in a desert, and the mule died.
No, we already had the mule, so she wasn't worried about the mule. It would have been nice to have 2 mules, but, you know, hey, we already had one. Like I said, I've been absent from the war field because I'm just tired. I am truly tired. I'm tired. I'm tired of fighting. Like I stated before, I was born in 58. I was born in 58. I've seen all the stuff that nobody wants to talk about that was real. I've been an educator for over 35 years. I'm tired of not teaching American history. This is why we're at, this is where we're at now, because people do not know how the American government works. I'm so tired of listening to people talking about what Biden can do. No, Biden can't do nothing without a Senate or a House of Congress.
Well, I mean, okay, hold on, Lamar. That is largely true in terms of legislation. The president is the head of the administrative branch of government, and so he can make rules for how, you know, the Treasury runs or how the DOJ runs or the EPA or the Department of Health and Human Services. But that is not that broad a mandate. You're absolutely right. It takes literally an act of Congress to create a piece of legislation. And of course, we found out today that the president's administrative powers with regard to things like the EPA aren't really real presidential powers because the Supreme Court effing struck them down. And it's worth remembering, Lamar, in the midst of all of this, that while we talk about the fetish, the fetus fetish, and the hunger to destroy the rights of more than half of the population of this country, another fetish object of the white wing in this country has long, and I mean by long, I mean long before Trump, has been the what they call the destruction of the administrative state. And the administrative state is basically, that's the agencies and the regulatory bodies, and the Republicans would like nothing better than to tear it every last bit, part and parcel, down to the ground.
Well, you know, by me being a student of history, I wasn't an A student, but I was a student of history. The South and the North have never finished the argument of reconsideration or whatever it was, reconstruction. And all we're doing is watching history repeat itself. And like in my culture, if you don't know your past, you don't know your future. And guess what? You're doomed to repeat it. I am watching America go back to the 1800s. Now, there's a lot of white people who want that, but they don't understand if they get what they wish, you're not going to be a participant on the happy side, because in the 1800s, certain white people were not accepted. And I'm watching them destroy civil rights. Oh, man, they are chipping it away. And we, and what really gets me, you have a total token Negro who is helping it be chipped away because he has not just one chip on his shoulder, but several chips on his shoulder. But what he doesn't understand is he's not white. He's black. And like most people have brought it up to him on subliminal conversations, you're married to a white woman. What happens if they get rid of the 1967 ruling that whites can marry blacks? Oh, 67? I was born in 58. How old was I? I was old enough to remember that law. I was old enough to remember that law. And you know what? The thing that really tickles me to death, I mean, I just laugh. I even got my mother laughing with this. She's 80-something plus. All these people screaming and hollering, I have free speech rights. I said, yes, you have free speech rights. But you know what? There's a consequence for your free speech. Martin Luther King practiced his free speech. He wound up dead. Malcolm X practiced his free speech. He wound up dead. Several other people, okay, let's take Cesar Chavez, practiced his free speech. He got locked up. And the famous white man who made the statement, give me liberty or give me death, about his free speech, what did they give him? Death. So let's work with it. You want to? You can say whatever you want to say. If I want to die tomorrow, I'm going to go out and call a white boy a cracker. I'm dead. You call me an N-word? If I feel like killing you, knowing that I'm going to be hung later, that's the consequences of my free speech. This is why they always told us, my generation, think before you speak. I know you heard that, too.
Yeah.
Be aware of what you say.
Yeah, your eyes are above your mouth because you're supposed to watch what you say.
Hey, you just brought a real West Virginia statement, South statement to the board. Give yourself a cowbell on that.
Well, thank you, Lamar. I will.
Because I'm like this. Even though, I mean, I am the generation, I am the person they want dead. Because I have seen colors only. Negroes need not to apply. Negroes enter from the rear. You can't shop on this side of the street. I've seen that. I've lived that. And when people who are born after 76, telling me racism is not part of it, there's no such thing as racism. I said, okay, fine. You go out and get yourself in a position where you have racial rights involved, guess what side you're going to wind up on? The side that's not too damn happy. And the thing that really bothers me, Robin, is...
Nice save.
What happened to... Live and let live. That's what
We're that way. Our side is that way. But theocracy, the very definition of fascist theocracy, is that live and let live is literally anathema to them. They feel They can't live and let live because they're not happy. They're so miserable to begin with that they're not happy unless they're making other people as miserable as they are.
But see, that's the point that I mean, I'm glad you brought that up. See, you can't push my buttons tonight because I took all the switch and the buttons off the board. So if you go to push a button, ain't no buttons there. But it's like this. I've been a teacher since 84. I remember and I recall that when we stopped teaching history, You stop teaching government. We don't teach civics. No American who was born after 78 knows how the government works. It was a planned program. They wanted the American people to be clueless about the way the American works. This is why you hear stuff like the president got superpowers. He can demand this, that. No, the power, I'm just going to talk government basics. The power is in the Senate and the power is in the House. And whoever owns the House owns the rule of law in America. It's that simple. If you got a 50-50 Senate, you ain't getting nothing done. If you got a 48-52 Senate, whoever's in power will dictate how you live. And here's the main catcher. In 2009, we had a group of ninth graders in our class, because that's when our system flipped over to 9th through 12. Me and my coworker asked the students, real simple, we're going to do a research paper on this and this. Out of 30 students, 25 students raised their hand and said, what is a research paper? And I said, oh my God, you don't know about research? You can't do any research? I'm like, my first research paper was done in 1960-something in the fifth grade. And guess what? I had to use the World Encyclopedia. The World Book. I had to physically go through pages and then go to the library to research what I couldn't get. The American, just like I've said this before, and I'll say it with you, and I'll share it with the community. In the early 80s, when Reagan was president and the Japanese consulate came over and they said the American people were lazy, I was highly pissed off. I mean, I was fuming. I wanted to go kick an Asian in the kneecap. But the guy came back a couple of days later and said, the American people are the most productive individuals in the world. They're lazy on their information. They want to be told what they need to know. Now, I'll be damned if I'm not looking at that now. I have had students tell me, why can't you just tell me what went on? Why do I got to go look it up? Oh, Lord have mercy. Bless my black soul. I cannot deal with it. This is why I'm going to retire within the next 2 years. I can't handle it, Robin. I can't. I'm tired. I can no longer try to save America. America, she's on her own. Yes, thank you for putting it in that term, but you know what? Being an athlete, exhaustion is not a metaphor. It is all about overcome and defeat the adversary. And like I told my mother a couple of days ago, when Bush became president, the son, politics turned into a athletic game. And if you look at it, pay attention. It's an athletic game. Our side must win. And when winning is the only option that you have, and you don't care how you win, you've already lost. Just like that Republican said on TV and during the trial, I want my side to win, but I'm not going to cheat for us to win. Him I can vote for. I'm a Democrat. Him I can vote for because he is American, he is human, and he wants to win legitimately. He don't want to win by a technicality. He don't want to cheat to win. He wants to win straight up without question. An American population is void of that gene.
You're not wrong, and you're getting a lot of response. You're getting responses from Emilio says, "Stop telling me what to know, Lamar, or think,
And stop being such a wonderful and dedicated teacher, Lamar. Lady B says, Silent R. Lamar, I'm in the pews. I'm shouting, well, and amen. There's church going on up in Robin's house. Guest Reverend Lamar, preach that gospel.
And, you know, I call in, you know, I sparingly call in. I've been so deluged, you know, my survival of taking care of my family and everything else that I cannot fight or come on like I used to. I cannot contribute to your show like I would want to. But you know what? If, like it says in the Bible, take care of these so you can take care of those. So if I don't take care of me, I can't help those. So, I mean, it's not like I don't care. I don't care. But see, when you... This is where I'm getting a kick out of all the one items and all the one issue voters. Like I have a reverend, one of my associates in my architectural business is a registered preacher. And he was against abortion. He was this, that, and then I straight up told him, I said, you don't believe in abortion. Fine. If you don't want one, don't have one. But what in God's law says that you have the right to stop another person from doing it? And like I hear the silence from you, I got the silence from him. Because God asked us to do three things.
No, you know, I'm not good
love
at it.
Him.
I'm not good at the God stuff, Lamar, so you know.
I know you're not with the God stuff, but I'm just saying. These are real rules, and you can relate to them. If it don't affect you, shut the fuck up. And I'm going to tell you right now, all those people who wanted Roe v. Wade overturned, they were thinking about themselves, because every one of them got family members and grandchildren who are going to get pregnant, and they're not going to want to help their pregnant relative survived the onslaught of everything that they wished for. It's real simple. If it does not apply to you, shut up. But if it affects everybody else, say something. And it's really, really simple. I'm like this. I got to restock my popcorn because I'm waiting for this to blow up. I'm scared for my grandchildren. I got five grandchildren right now. One's 13. I'm scared to death that she might get pregnant. But you know what? We live in California. Like I told all my children, get your ass behind the blue curtain. Live on the West Coast. I don't care if you live in Washington, Oregon, or California. Get on the West Coast because we will protect you on whatever decision or whatever problem that comes your way.
Lamar, as long as that is possible. They're going to try to pass a national ban on abortion. And, you know, that might actually be the tipping point. That might be the point where we have a serious conversation about whether we want to be the United States of America anymore or whether we want to be Jesus land.
Okay, I'm gonna touch on both of those points. I'm gonna touch on Jesus land first, because I love this Jesus land stuff. I'm not a religious crazy person, but I like to talk about this. Okay, well, let's go to Jesus land. Which part of Jesus land is going to be the dominant order? You got Catholics, Methodists, Episcopalians, Baptists, Methodists, and all these others. Who's going to be the dominant religious groundswell?
Well, right now we have an answer to that, Lamar. And the answer from the Supreme mm-hmm. Court is that it will be the Roman Catholic Church. Because Roman Catholics...
How long do you think that's going to last?
As long as that majority remains that majority, and as long as Roman Catholic justices keep getting appointed to right-wing Roman Catholic justices keep getting appointed.
Well, guess what? we had a Roman Catholic president, John F. Kennedy, and they didn't want to let him in power because they were scared he was going to listen to
the Pope at Rome.
And right now,
right now, we've got justices on the Supreme Court who are doing the bidding of the Pope at Rome.
Not 100%.
Lamar, I love you, but that's exactly what the Dobbs decision was.
Okay. I'm not gonna argue with you on that because they want a religious war. We can have the Crusades in America. That's fine. Because the Crusades in the 1500s was all about Christians trying to make Muslims, same religion, bow down to the other. We're going to have that here. I don't want to talk about that because it's going to come. But let's get to, Lord have mercy. I forgot the second thing that we were talking about. I need a refresher course. Christianity was one.
Well, whether we want to be Jesus land or the United States of America. Can't be both.
Okay. That is true. You can't be both. I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. I've been drinking. Well,
that's okay. I got to roll out of here anyway. We're over time, but Lady B sent you a message and said, I see your point, Lamar. And, of course, most of us know that not all the power lies can most of us know that not all the power lies in Joe Biden's hands. We know that he's not the reason we have high gas prices. But if you're looking for somebody to blame, you're going to go with the name that pops in your head. Most Americans don't know or even understand how the Senate and House work together. They probably couldn't even tell you the names of their own senators and representatives. They only know what they see. And right now, they're not seeing a lot of action coming from the top. So, yes, of course, we need a House and a Senate that's on our side. But the shit that went down with Mitch McConnell when he denied Obama his pick for the Supreme Court, all that shit, that's what we're pissed off about. And again, Obama did not have say. But on the other hand, if the president doesn't have a say in how he runs the government he presides over, why the fuck are they there? And responding to what Lady B said there, that's why the Republican Party wants to disassemble the administrative state so that the only things left for a Republican president to have to deal with will be the things that matter to Republicans. The military. The money.
Okay, can I get one request?
Okay.
And my request is can I call in tomorrow when we got more time to scream about this?
Well, possibly. Tomorrow's Friday on the front porch, so you know we'll be having the extraordinary ordinary roundtable conversation.
Oh, it's the front porch thing?
Yeah, tomorrow's Friday.
Oh, it's the front porch thing. I'll wait until Monday.
All right. Well, Lamar, you have yourself. You have yourself a good afternoon.
I don't want to mess up your Friday. Okay, buddy.
All right. You have a good weekend.
I don't want to mess up your... Talk to you later.
All right. Bye now. Our buddy Silent R. Lamar wrapping the program up for us. Jesus Land, the brainwashing sucks, but the rides are good, says Amelia. Randy Radar says, I've got three rules for evaluating any new situation. One, what is the trick to it all? Two, what is their track record? And three, follow the money. Always follow the money. Of course, that was what Deep Throat said to, was it Woodward or Bernstein? Follow the money. And that's how Nixon's toxic house came down. Shorty in L.A. writes, Hey, Lamar the Magnificent, missed you, sweetie pie. The people have a lot of power, yes, and everything is planned and will continue to go as they plan it. It's only when the people follow the money the president gave away, then they'd get off their asses. Fact, these sanctions are not about Russia. It's all about Africa. For over 20 years, China and Russia have been helping Africa. Now the continent is rising up. Imperialism is dead. The fight is not what they tell us in the news. It's give us our money back, fix Flint water issues, student debt, homelessness, give a health system, etc. All the money sent to Ukraine would solve it. And oh yeah, fuck those 200 American KKK veterans fighting with Nazis. Oh, God, please, please, Shorty, don't fall for the Ukro-Nazis horseshit. Please don't. Please don't. I mean, if having Nazis in your country is a reason to, well, I mean, we got plenty of Nazis here. But the fact of the matter is, Russia sent a missile into a crowded mall 2 days ago and bragged about it. A mall packed with people. There's no way to make Russia the good guy in this. They're monsters. Absolute monsters. And for Ukraine to be a Nazi state, well, that's kind of weird when you consider that the president of Ukraine's a Jew. I mean, not saying, just saying. So we come to the end of the program. Thank you to everybody who jumped in. I have some thank yous to send out. Thank you to our dear friend Christopher jumping in via Venmo. 15 of 25, because I like Rick. Well, thank you. Thank you, Christopher. And thanks as well to Herbert. Wow, thank you, Herbert. Herbert just did us a real good lick. That means we are down to, we got down to 549.01. Herbert took us down to 449.01. And Colin took us down to 414.01. So that's not nearly as horrible a hole as we could have been facing. Thank you, everybody who jumped in to take all of this down. 449.01 is a lot better than having a $700 hole or more to fill in for Bruce's Memorial Challenge tomorrow. June is done, y'all. Hey, how about a giggle on the way out the door? I love this. Rudy Giuliani is turning into an unintentional comedy act. I mean, he's almost rising to the level of, you know, where we used to be with Andy Kaufman, where you weren't sure if he was serious or what the hell's going on here. Rudy was really pissed off about Cassidy Hutchinson's testimony. He was so pissed off that in attacking her, he said, "Well, she was never present when I asked for a pardon." God, everything turns into a Warner Brothers cartoon. Yeah, I mean, Muggsy's not in this oven over here. If Muggsy was in this oven, would I turn the gas on? Would I light a match and throw it in if my buddy Muggsy was in there? Bang! All right, Rabbit. You've convinced me. I'll go and look for Muggsy in the city. Yeah, she was never present when I asked for a pardon. You know, and that's the part where Bert grabs Hubie with the two Warner Brothers mice and he goes, "Stupid!" Oh, thank you, everybody. Thanks for what I thought was a scintillating Thorn in the Side Thursday to end the month of June. Thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you so very much to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatsoever manner you may choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to our news ninjas. Wait a minute. You know what? I don't think I said hello to the chat room this evening. But, hey to Squeaky and hey to Theo. Thanks, Steve from Georgistan, for pinch-hit midweek chat room utility moderating and being an all-around great guy, Brother Bishop. Thank you. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Headon.live. Brand new fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and proudly a union shop. please stay safe. Get your second booster. Be careful where you go and what you do. I found out my family physician today. I went over for shot day. He's laid out for the week with COVID. Doing okay, but he got it. He got the Rona. Made it all the way through, and just now only got it. God, can't be fun. Stay safe. Don't get it if you can possibly avoid it. Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. Avoid mass gatherings, or if you're in a big box store or something, a grocery store, what have you. Well, wear that mask, wash your hands, don't touch your face. And well, if some guy with his hair dye running down the side of his face, melting like Sid Barrett thought he was back in the day, walks up to you saying, "She wasn't even there when I asked for my pardon." Avoid that maggot former mayor of New York like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.